I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
I guess that's the fifth question at the Seder. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and we answered that call. Each week we'll be joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else we fucking feel like talking about. How you doing, Will?
I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'm getting fucking fat. That's how I'm doing.
And I'll tell you what. You look very slim to me.
You know what? But all I've been doing... See, here's the thing. My mother's in town.
And your grandmother.
And my grandmother. And I love them, and I love they come to visit, and I have a good time with them. We went to see Conan O'Brien today. It was wonderful. But here's the thing. They've been here so many times that I've run out of new things to do with them. So all we do is eat. And it's just the in-between time of eating and eating. And that's all that exists. And all I'm doing is eating.
Well, you got to fatten yourself up for the lean years that are coming ahead.
Yeah, the living in my car because I threw all my money into a podcast years. Those years are coming. Those will be my jewel years. Wasn't that her story? She was like living in a car?
Yes, but living in the car came before she was famous, not...
I want to become famous, and then I want to like live on the streets.
Yes, just because you can. You have the option to. But, you know, it's good to hear that you got family here. My family doesn't come to visit ever, so that's nice.
I know. What's with them?
Well, they live in the valley. It's not much to come visit. But so you're getting fat. How's everything else going?
Everything else is good, except I'm fat. But right. I'm not – actually, I'm not fat. I want people to know that. I want the women to know that.
That your height and weight proportional.
I have the body of like – I have what would have been an athletic build in the 1940s.
That's like the average ancient Greek was about 5'5". So you have the body of a Greek warrior.
I am a Greek warrior. So, what's been going on with the podcast is the question.
What's been going on with the podcast? Podcast's been going good. Thank you. We have 102 friends on Facebook, which is almost as many friends as I have in real life. So, phenomenal. And as promised, we want to give a shout out to our 100th friend.
We said we would, and the 100th like on the Facebook page for Will Sean Podcast was Mike Green. Congratulations, kid.
You made it. That's it. It's all downhill from here.
You're getting a shout out on Will Sean Podcast.
But honestly, thank you everyone for liking us. Now our next goal is 200 likes. We're going to get on that. We're
98 away, and we're going to bug you all you assholes who haven't liked it yet. You're on our list.
We're like a shark. If we stop moving, we'd die. So, but thank you. A lot of good feedback. And now you can actually go to willshawnpodcast.com. It just links you to our Blogspot page. Not terribly exciting yet, but the URL is there. If you want to bookmark it, we've got the Facebook, we've got the Twitter. We're getting there. It's all coming together.
It's all coming together slowly but surely.
And for those of you who have liked the Facebook page, I hope you realize by now that it is the clearinghouse and repository for all sorts of Will Sean podcast business. We send out messages. We have links to videos. We got pictures. It's a lot of good stuff to be had there, and we're going to keep building that site up.
And if you haven't figured that out, then you're an idiot.
Yes. And what are you doing listening to this? We don't know.
Tell us who's our sponsor this week.
Our sponsor this week. Well, if you're anything like me, then you take sports very seriously. Despite all the time I spend training and working out, I still need a boost to give me that competitive edge. That's why I take Berserker brand energy bar. Berserker is jam-packed with vitamins and minerals that helps me to bring out that little something extra on and off the field. After just one bite, you will instantly feel the effects as the active ingredients swiftly shatter the blood-brain barrier. Each bar is bursting with clinical-level doses of diamorphine, cyclizine, codeine, phenobarbitone, sodium amytal, muscimol, dextropropoxyphene, methadone, Adderall, diphenhydramine, cyclosibine, phenethylamine, ketamine, ayahuasca, and children's Tylenol. Feel the energy course through your veins as you rip your opponent limb from limb and defecate into his gaping skull. Raise the bar with Berserker Bar.
I had a bite of one of those the other morning because they sent a box of them over. And I pulled my pants up over my head.
Excellent. Yeah, and they found you in the L.A. Wash crying like a baby.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the river. Yeah. I was running naked through the L.A. river. So thank you, Berserker.
Berserker Bar, really, it gives me what I need to be the competitive athlete that I am. Thank you, Berserker Bar.
And speaking of sports, We've got a lot of sports to discuss on this episode. Don't be scared. It won't be all sports. We're going to be talking about the NBA. We're going to be talking about the start of the Major League Baseball season. And to get a little out of sports, I'm going to tell the exciting conclusion to my jury service
story. Part three of the it's the Return of the Jedi of Will's Jury Duty trilogy.
But we have a guest with us, and would you like to
Yes.
introduce our guest?
Sam Zia, how are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you guys for having me so much. I really appreciate it.
Welcome to the podcast. I know we're recording a little later than usual, but it's good. We will we'll take some bites of Berserker Bar and get the energy going. How are you doing, Sam?
Good. I actually had a couple of Berserker Bars earlier. I'm a little agitated right now.
This is a good end.
One of us won't be getting out of here alive.
No,
tonight,
next week it's going to be the Will or Sean podcast.
But Sam, we wanted to have Sam on because Sam has worked and is working again in radio.
Yes.
And he's got a lot of...
radio, which for those of you who don't know, is the grandfather of this medium we call podcasting.
Yes, you guys killed it.
We killed.
You are the process of killing radio.
Podcasting
like
killed the radio star.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you that. Since you are on radio, and I wanted to get to this anyway, is that a legitimate concern in radio? Like how with movies, like it was always like television. Oh, we're afraid of. I mean, is radio very much afraid of not just the internet, but like things like podcasts that any two idiots can have? What's essentially a radio show.
Absolutely.
Without having to go for commercial interruptions or kowtow to sponsors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's something that has made it, first off, so that it's like the new ham radio. It's right. The thing where people can just, anybody can pick it up and jump in. So any moron with a computer and an opinion can go ahead and just have their own podcast. Not to say that you guys are morons with opinions.
No, we're just opinionated morons.
Yes. But... the thing is, there's a lot of really good radio hosts that ended up making way too much money, ended up getting fired, who now have podcasts and make even more money.
Adam Carolla,
for example.
Adam Carolla gets 57 million downloads an episode. 57 million worldwide.
That's almost as many as we get.
That will close. We're getting to those numbers. Insane. Yeah, and they don't have the same pressures as radio. It's long form. They don't have to stop every 8 minutes for a break. They don't have to watch themselves. They don't have to self-censor. And, you know, the way this world, as if there were others, maybe there are, the way the world has been going in terms of technology and entertainment, it's becoming, even politics, anything, everything's become fragmented. You find your niche, you find the topics, you find the personalities that you gravitate towards, and that's all you need to pay attention to and fuck everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get these personalities who build their audience, garner their audience, develop it, and then just... cater to that audience.
Yeah, absolutely. A buddy of mine just started up his own podcast after being the talk show host of the 90s in Los Angeles.
Rick Dees?
No.
Okay.
No, it was Joe McDonald. He was a sports host in LA for a long time.
So you work in sports radio. Is it different? Much of sports talk radio is immediate. It's responding to what happened the night before that morning. And also, a lot of sports talk radio is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's letting these meatheads call in and babble on, well, what I think, they got to coach this. They got to bench this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. They just let these blowhards call up and run their mouth off. And that's not really a medium that's conducive to podcasting, I would think.
Well, the one thing that really comes up just from my end of all of it is how repetitive everything is. Because you have to remember, the people, when they're listening, usually are only listening for 15 to 20 minutes
at a time.
Right,
so they keep repeating topics.
Yeah, so somebody comes in and has their own opinion on a topic, chances are they're repeating somebody else's opinion from two hours ago. Let's be honest.
I mean, most sports topics, it's very thin. How much are you going to discuss? Even if there's some major controversy happened the night before...
why didn't they take that picture
out?
Or why did
Bynum get two technical fouls? How immature is he? You're not going to get a lot of mileage out of this, so you just need to create some sort of controversial call-in topic, and you just egg people on, and if you have two people, they each take one side of an issue, and that's it, and you just let the machine go, but there's no substance to it. It's just noise, as opposed to, for those of you know, Bill Simmons, aka the sports guy, he has a very successful podcast where he talks about sports in a very serious and in-depth way, but he has the luxury of digging into one topic or really going into depth on something, which is what you're not going to get on sports talk radio. So he can take sports and turn it into something that is more substantive.
Yeah, and that also comes with the reputation that he has.
Right.
He's not only known for being a great sports
He's also a journalist. He's also, a writer.
Yeah, a great comedy writer. He's got some very great opinions. And me being a huge Laker fan, I should by nature hate this guy because he's so pro-Boston and anti-Los Angeles.
Yeah, oh, we'll get to that later.
We're going to get to that for sure. But this guy has such a he's just so really creative with the way that he delivers his information that it makes it impossible not to ignore it and not to like it.
All right, well, let's take it back a little bit because we've already lost half of our listeners, most of whom are artistic types. Talk a little bit about your earlier days in radio. I know you've told me some stories about working on a Spanish on a morning Spanish language radio program being everyone there spoke English, but on the air, they were all speaking Spanish.
They actually spoke half Spanish, half English.
So it was a Spanglish radio.
Yeah, it was a Spanglish radio targeting Latino youths in the region. It was a lot of fun, actually. I got to...
And you don't speak any Spanish.
I don't speak a lick of Spanish. I'm not even Latino. I have a somewhat Latino-sounding name, Zia. Yeah. You know, it can be confused pretty easily. But, yeah, I'm Persian. I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but I was on there for 2 years.
And what was your nickname on the radio program?
My name was Sam El Arabe. It's Spanish for Sam the Arab. And I'm not Arab.
Yeah,
I'm Persian. That was the running joke.
Could you explain to them that the Persians are a Turkic people? They come from the steppes. They're not genetically Arabs.
Yeah, no, I tried to make that distinction. They didn't get it, so I just called everybody Mexican, even though there were Dominicans, Cubans.
Mexicans and the Arabs.
The Salvadorians hated being called Mexican. That's where I won battles.
I would think that'd be a step up.
Yeah.
Sorry, El Salvadorian listeners.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're never getting
I'm Argentinian. We got a whole thing going. There's a lot of chauvinism within the Spanish-speaking countries on who's on top and who's shitting on whom. So, sorry. It's just my Argentinian self coming out.
So as the English-speaking Arab non-Arab on the radio show, like, what would they have you do? Like, what were the kind of...
I was the sports guy. Every morning I gave sports updates. I also wrote song parodies.
Dodgers?
Yeah, for Los Dodgers, Los Lakers, and it was...
and the fucking Clippers.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. There was certain things, like LA Kings... If it had ice in it, none of these people know what ice is unless it's being shaved for a dessert treat. I mean, seriously, that was the running joke at the station. We had the Kings come over at one point trying to butter us up to get them to talk about them more on the air.
Yeah, they're like, we'll bring Luke Robitaille.
Yeah, no, they brought me to Staples Center. They gave me the full tour. I got a jersey from them and everything. And I still couldn't muster up the time to get a sleepover story out.
I had a sleepover at Wayne Gretzky's house, and they still didn't want
like
talk
who?
With Kings.
Who yeah. was that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The teams that, like, in the order, the hierarchy at the time I was there of the teams in L.A. for these fans were the Lakers, Dodgers, and Raiders. Everything else is kind of a
maybe blur. The Chargers.
Yeah. And the running joke was the Mexican Winter Olympic team. They never had really any success.
Well, did we have MLS soccer yet? Galaxy and Chivas here yet?
Los Galacticas. Yes. That was actually
sounds like a bad guy from the Fantastic Four.
Well, yeah, no, they love their soccer. Chivas USA just got started while I was over there. So there's a good rivalry starting to brew up with the Galaxy and Chivas.
I know Sean is a soccer fan. He enjoys soccer. World Cup soccer.
Well, okay,
do you like soccer as well? Because I cannot get into it, maybe because I'm a fucking American.
Well, you know, you're a fan of baseball, the most high-octane sport there is.
It's a very dramatic sport.
There's so soccer.
There's a lot of tension, the pitcher and the batter. It's this battle going on. And soccer, I don't know. Nobody scores. I can't get behind sports that, like, you know, can go a whole game and
end up
a 0-0 tie. I can't get behind a 0-0 tie in any sport. I'm sorry. I don't know. How do you feel about this, Sam?
I personally have no qualms with anybody loving any sport. There are hockey fans that love hockey. I personally, not the greatest hockey fan in the world for the same reason why you don't like soccer. For me, I like soccer because I like being in the crowd that's that rabid about
And what's good about soccer is because very little happens, when something does happen, people lose their fucking minds.
Yeah.
And so it's a bigger payoff to your patients. And soccer plus, soccer is the ideal social game to watch with a large group of people, because you can be watching the game with one eye and still be talking to people and interacting, but then when something happens, it galvanizes the entire room and everyone comes together for that one
but
moment.
But I could say the same thing about baseball.
Yeah, you can.
That's a good – I mean, I feel like baseball is one of the best sports to watch, like sitting at a bar, because for a very similar reason.
But even baseball – a hit in baseball doesn't generate nearly as much energy as a near goal or even a goal scored in soccer.
But – okay, well, let me ask this question then. And I think we're already almost getting into the topics before we finish talking about this race stuff. But is – because I've always kind of believed that – and one of the things I like about baseball is one of the hardest things to do in all of sports is to hit a baseball. You know, it's the old cliche, like the people who do it well 30% of the time are the Hall of Famers.
Right.
I mean, is it harder – what's harder, get a goal in soccer or hit a baseball?
Well, let's look at it from a sheer athletic standpoint. How hard is it to run up and down a field for 45 minutes without a break, and then to be able to deliver a kick that's spot-on accurate into the corner of the goal? Yeah, it is a lot more difficult from an athletic perspective, because you have guys like Prince Fielder coming in at 250 pounds.
who can hit a ball like a mile.
Smack the ball it's good that he could smack the ball a mile, because it would take about that long for him to round the bases. You know, it is very difficult, but it doesn't take a great athlete to be a great baseball player.
Right, it's a different skill set.
Okay, fair enough.
Soccer is an endurance game. Baseball is a game of bursts, you know?
There's a
lot of finesse in baseball. Well, there's a lot of finesse in soccer, but
it's a different...
You're wired up. You have to be on constantly.
I can't deal with it.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll watch some Euro games this summer.
I'm sure I'll love it. Tell us about what you're doing right now, because now you had been out of radio for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just recently came back. So tell, I mean, we touched upon it, but tell us about the show you're doing and the work you're doing right now.
Well, now I'm back in sports radio again. I'm on AM 570. It's a sports station here in LA. For 35 years, it was the Lakers station. Now it's actually the Dodgers station, so I get to work with Dodger radio. And, on the weekends, they have me joining a show over there, AM570 Raw, which is a show that's going to be on iHeartRadio. So
nice.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the episode.
Yeah, we'll give it a little bit more
plug.
You know what? I was gonna, when we got into the topics, I was gonna start with some of the jury stuff, but we're on a sports run, so maybe let's continue with that.
And don't worry, people. We will get to the conclusion of whether or not Will sent this poor woman to the gas chamber or not for her infraction.
We're discussing baseball now, and we're here in Los Angeles. And one of the big sports stories in general, but especially here in Los Angeles lately, has been that Magic Johnson, who's like basically could be mayor of Los Angeles in a second if he wanted, the most beloved man possibly in this town, has bought the Dodgers.
Well, him and with a consortium of investors, but he's the front man.
Yeah, it was a $2 billion deal, too.
Which, who the hell thought the Dodgers were worth $2 billion? Well, I mean, I know it's a prestigious brand name as far as baseball goes.
It's not just a brand name. One thing about the Dodgers is that next year their television contract – first of all, $2 billion, it is the highest price that has ever gone for a sports franchise, beating the record that was paid for the Miami Dolphins.
I believe so,
It was $1.2 billion a few years ago, and we saw how that went. one thing about the Dodgers, their television contract is up next year, which means there's going to be a renegotiation. The Dodgers are essentially going to go to a proprietary pay cable-only format. They're no longer going to be available on local television, and that television deal is going to be worth over $1 billion.
So they're going to do kind of what Steinbrenner did with the Yankees, with the Yes. And Steinbrenner was kind of and as a Yankee fan, I applaud this, was a kind of a pioneer with that, with the television guy, with the Yes Network and stuff like that. And after he did it, you saw like the Red Sox and other teams start to
follow.
Right, so
the Dodgers now, when the contract is up, there is a shit ton of money to be made as soon as when they renew their contract, when they restructure the way that they are going to provide Dodger content to the fans.
So, Sam, what are Dodger fans then? How are they feeling about this?
They're ecstatic.
They have to be.
It's something that, after the horror of McCourt, and they
Frank McCourt was the Boston bastard who rode into town, purchased the Dodgers, and then quickly used the value of the Dodgers as his own personal piggy bank, leveraged them, took out loans against the value of the team, and by the time he was done, he was $550 million in debt because from the Dodgers. He owed money against the team. He used it to buy houses and boats and...
The divorce.
Yeah, and the divorce the against his bitch wife.
Frank McCourt. Yeah, fans deserve someone better than a Frank McCourt.
Absolutely. And especially a guy from Boston. Here in Los Angeles. We'll get into this, but...
Yeah. This is decidedly anti-Boston tonight. But yeah, Magic was the perfect person. There was a bidding war for this, and the people, the experts, were guessing that the right bid would come out to about $1.5 to $1.9 billion for the Dodgers. And I guess Magic's group decided that they had to go higher than that, so they really went up and showed that they were willing to invest in the team. That was the difference between McCourt's group and Magic's group. McCourt's group went in and bought the team with literally no money, and they weren't willing to invest in the players. That's why they all, like, suffered so much. Yeah. Now they have some very good talent that they can base this off of, and with Magic and that group of investors
reinvesting in the team, they can get better. They put $2 billion. That essentially goes to McCourt and the previous owners.
Yes.
Does that leave them still with capital for day-to-day operations, to pay for players, run the team? You know, does that is there enough revenue there to that they don't need to scrimp from the bottom of the barrel to keep this thing going?
That's one thing that the Major League Baseball owners typically are good at. Although in recent years, with the economy becoming as bad as it's been, you see teams like the Mets now being owned by Major League Baseball.
Well, the Mets also had – they got involved with Bernie Madoff.
And Herbalife.
I mean, they had a big – I mean, that was a big clusterfuck on their part. The thing about baseball and what's always – look, I am a Yankee fan.
And are you now?
What I loved about Steinbrenner, and look, he would be reactionary, which was sometimes unfortunate. And he'd be like, I want to trade Bernie Williams, and people would have to talk him out of it. But just because Bernie pissed him off because he dropped the ball one game in April, you know. But so Steinbrenner would be like that. But what you had to love about him and what you sense that Magic is going to bring to this, especially being an athlete himself, and you've seen other people like Nolan Ryan with Texas brings, is just this desire to win. And Steinbrenner had this desire to win. And I watched some of these teams, some of these fucking teams, and they're like, we don't have the money to... Well, you know what? If you spent some money, if you paid some of these players, you would develop... People would come to the ballpark, you would start winning, and you would start producing more revenue. And Steinbrenner, he would do this. And he only cared about winning, and that's the way it should be if you're going to own a sports
team. The Dodgers is that they already have a solid group of players. They have Matt Kemp. They have Clayton Kershaw. They have phenomenal. They're already a playoff caliber team. They were just missing morale and a couple of pieces. There was just a few things missing from the equation. But they're already a solid team. It's not like they need to build this thing from scratch. They have arguably some of the best players in MLB on the Dodgers.
Well, you said the word right there. It was morale. Yeah. The difference is last year, when you go to a game, any random game, it was maybe half full at best.
And if you go out of the parking lot, you're going to get your skull cracked by a bunch of hoodlums.
That's how bad it got that they didn't even have the money to pay for security to keep people safe after the games.
Well, I've been to Dodger games. I see what shit goes on behind the third baseline. Yeah. They got kids with bottles of Crown Royal, you know, stuffed in their dolls.
I was at a Dodgers-Phillies game about 2 years ago, and in my section, I mean, I was rooting for the Dodgers, I'm not going to root for a team from Philadelphia anyway, but there were some Phillies fans, and the Phillies fans were just keeping their mouths shut, but these Dodger fans were not letting, I mean, it was getting a little tense.
God forbid the Dodgers play the Raiders.
But you know what,
all right, well, so baseball season has started. Now, Will, what's the Yankees record so far?
The Yankees won tonight.
Yeah.
So now they're 2-3 now. They got swept by Tampa Bay to open the
season. Sam, what are the Dodgers record right now?
I believe they're, 3 or 4-1?
4-1, yeah.
4-1, yeah. They won today, yeah. 4-1.
Well, you know, hey, it's early. Look, as a Yankee fan, I have complete confidence that the Yankees will make the playoffs. They always do. Lately, they haven't had enough pitching or enough. They've had the offense, but their offense hasn't come through in the playoffs the last few years.
They're looking a little creaky there at second base.
You don't know what you're talking about. They got the best second baseman in baseball, Robinson Cano.
And third that's base.
Third base, A-Rod is, you know.
A-Rod's just showing up now. It's like a paycheck.
A-Rod's got that bad hip, so, you know, they got to move him to DH. They still got the best closer in the history of baseball.
Yeah, 55-year-old man.
He's like 500-year-old Mariano
Rivera. They'll wheel him out. He pitches from a wheelchair.
And yet, we just watched him tonight get a save.
And it was a very clean, quick save. And so, you know, at least you could take a little bit of comfort knowing that the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox, are suffering equally.
Now, let's, you know what? That's a perfect segue. That's a perfect segue because this week we wanted to go with a sports-themed enemy of the podcast. And if there's one thing the sports fans of New York and L.A. can agree on, is that Boston can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Fuck Boston. And I've been wanting to say that for a long time. Fuck Boston.
And as a diehard Lakers fan growing up, fuck the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
And fuck the Red Sox. And I've got Red Sox fans.
What about
friends.
The Bruins?
I've got, who's it, hockey? But, you know, but fuck them too. You're right. And the Patriots. You know what? Here's the thing. I've got some close friends who are Red Sox fans. There are people listening to this podcast right now who probably love Boston. I'm sorry, but Boston, you're a bunch of assholes. And here's one of the reasons why. For years, and this is particularly for Red Sox fans, for years, you were always so, like, whiny about, like, the fucking Yankees, fucking Yankees.
Curse then, of the Bambino.
Then you curse the Bambino. Then you find, we give you one. And then you get a
second
one.
Oh, really? You get, because I watched that entire 2004. I watched that AL Championship Series in the World Series. You didn't give shit away. That was the most
thrilling. No, we gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not good. Here, we gave it away in the worst, most embarrassing
way possible. Some of the most thrilling week of baseball I've ever seen in my entire life was when the Red Sox went on their miracle season in 2004.
The most stressed out I think I've ever been was that season. No, okay, but I mean, look, the Yankees spit the bit. It was terrible. They fucked up.
They shit the bed.
They should have. They really did.
Boy, did they ever.
But the Red Sox, and then after that, all these Red Sox fans all of a sudden are like, either more Red Sox fans were coming out of the woodworks.
Or people like me were a little bit more interested in the Red Sox.
Yeah, and
that.
I'm like, what the fuck do you care about it?
Stephen King's writing a book about it.
Yeah, you know, and then you won, and guess what? Now, like, it's like you don't give a shit. You know, I know some Red Sox fans. It might not be you who's listening, but I know some people who are like, yeah, I'm not watching. Because you finally won. You didn't know what to do with yourself. The same thing if the Cubs ever won. The Cubs wouldn't know what the fuck to do with themselves. The worst thing that would ever happen is, my father's always said, though, this is what my father's always said, because my father hates the Cubs. He hates the Red Sox. But he said to me, and I kind of agreed with this, I go, why do you hate the Cubs, Dad? He goes, I hate the Red Sox. But I've respected them. They compete. They go out there and compete. He's like, but the Cubs are losers, and they're always going to be losers. And they are.
Your father was a loser.
Back
to what you were saying, with the Red Sox fans, they don't know what to do with themselves. That year in 2004, when the Red Sox won the first World Series in 200 years, I had been working with a guy who was from Boston and was a diehard, in-the-blood Boston Red Sox fan. And because of him, he got me very excited about this championship run. The last game four of the World Series, the one the Red Sox swept in the World Series, the game started late. He was at work. He stayed at work where they had a big screen television, and he watched the game by himself. The next day he shows up, and he is not even hungover. He's still drunk. He is a mess. He had slept in his car. I go, well, what happened last night? He goes, I was sitting there, and I'm in the room, and I'm watching this game by myself, and the lights are off, and it's ninth inning, last out, and the Red Sox, they win the World Series. I don't know what to do with myself. I just put my arms up in the air and I look around. There's no one around me. I don't even know how to celebrate. He goes, I call my dad at home and we go, the Red Sox won. Okay, I got to go. He goes, I go to Trader Joe's and I'm just in a shock. I'm wandering the aisles in my Red Sox shirt and another guy sees me and goes, Red Sox, yeah, Red Sox. And we just high-five each other. He goes, and then the night got really blurry.
you know what the thing is? I mean, I've always felt like New York, they win, we win, we go about our business. The Red Sox fans, like, people died. Like, it's insanity. Like, they were just, look, yes, Yankee fans are a bit arrogant because we've won so many world championships. We've won 27, world championships.
Counting?
But who's counting? The Red Sox fans, just such loud, obnoxious, they've just... Oh, now, why do you hate the L.A. sports people?
Oh, I love L.A. sports.
No,
people.
The
hate
Boston,
Boston sports people.
Boston people, yeah.
Well, I personally view the Red Sox, their trials and tribulations, as being karmic retribution for the bullshit of the Boston Celtics.
Yes, and that's a good segue. Let's talk about basketball very quickly.
And I'm just going to jump in on that and say, fuck Red Auerbach. Because that man right there He may if you win the Coach of the Year in the NBA, it has his name on it, but that guy was the biggest bastard in sports
Red
history.
Red Auerbach was the historic coach of the Boston Celtics through the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
He wasn't there in the 80s.
No, he was during the 60s and 70s.
Yes, actually.
During Bill Russell's day.
During 50s and 60s, and actually Bill Russell himself took over for him as player coach back in the day.
Yeah, so Red Auerbach, until Phil Jackson went and won 11
championships.
11 championships. He was the most winningest coach in the NBA, and the Coach of the Year trophy, as you mentioned, is named after him, and he was just an angry son of a bitch.
Because you, being a big Lakers fan, have had to deal with all their bullshit, their arrogant bullshit.
The Celtics beat the Lakers 8 times in a row for the championship throughout the 50s and 60s. The Lakers had to suffer more than any other team in basketball history. That's why Lakers' success now...
Well, I mean, that was only 55 years ago.
Yeah, no, but the Lakers' success now is like, okay, you were patient through those years against the Celtics. We'll start giving you the rewards you deserve now. Those Celtics, though, this is the kind of BS that the Celtics pulled on the Lakers during the 80s. Say, 1987, Lakers go in there, and Red Auerbach almost picks a fight with Michael Cooper behind in the locker room area. And at that game, you know, it's like really hot. It's in the summer, and Boston Garden is a sweltering gym. It was a little shithole back in Boston. He goes and starts piping hot air into the Laker locker room. the visitor locker room in Boston Garden was known for being the worst locker room in all of sports. It was like a little tiny garage shithole den that barely had a working shower. And so, yeah, this guy was as dirty as it got. And then when the Lakers beat them
in 1987, now the apologist's like, well, we had an injured team. Larry Bird had a thing with his foot. If we had been in full shape, you wouldn't have won. Fuck you, Boston.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you, Boston.
Speaking of feet, and just take it back to baseball a bit, fuck Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
That right-wing son of a bitch. Because... You know what? Here's the thing. Like, Pedro Martinez, I used to hate him as a player. He'd, like, throw at Jorge Posada's head and stuff like that. But you know what? I fucking respected Pedro. At least I hated him, but I respected him. But Curt Schilling, he's always an outspoken prick. He never knew when to keep his mouth shut. Learn a lesson from Derek Jeter. Keep your mouth shut on shit. You know, he was an arrogant son of a bitch. I had no respect for
him. Well, he did pitch those innings with the bloody sock.
Fuck that bloody sock.
That bloody sock now in Boston, it's like a religious relic. They're going to build a church in 2,000 years when all this is forgotten and baseball somehow supplanted Christianity as the global religion. It's going to be the Church of the Bloody Sock, and everyone's going to worship St. Schilling.
It's going to be like on display.
And I think we've lost about 90% of our listeners.
Wow, I'm loving this episode, but I feel like some of our cinephile friends are going like, what did they do this week?
Yeah.
Sam, we're going to need you to make everyone listen.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, Zach.
Okay, let's real quick, and then we'll actually get off the sports. But you're a huge Lakers fan. Here in L.A., basketball, Lakers, that's the thing. Like we were saying, Boston, it's baseball. Here it is basketball.
Lakers. Yeah.
So how's the NBA season shaping out, not just for the Lakers, but the league in general? Give us a little.
For the first time, we can actually bring the Clippers into the discussion.
Yes. Really?
I mean, they're not making a loud statement in the discussion, but
they were early in the season, but they petered out a little bit. But we're going to see the Clippers in the playoffs and the Lakers in the playoffs, and there's a good chance that the Lakers and the Clippers may play each other in the playoffs, and that would be insane.
Yeah, the last 8 games of the season for the Lakers, they're going to be playing San Antonio 3 times, Oklahoma City. They're playing some of the top echelon
teams. Of their last 8 games, I think 5 of them are against, or 4 of them are against, the top 2 teams in the division.
Yeah, so this is going to make it so it's really important for the Lakers to finish strong. Otherwise, they can still conceivably be not in the playoffs.
Well, if they lose every single game.
Well, Kobe being out right now isn't helping. He has a hurt shin. He's missed the last 3 games, or last 2 games.
He's not playing tomorrow night.
And he's missing tomorrow night against San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
One thing, very quickly, going back to the Celtics and Lakers, and I'm only speaking about the current Celtics team right now as it is on the field. They're just a bunch of thugs. They're just a bunch of fucking thugs.
City is thugs.
No, but there's something about, you know, Larry Bird, say what you want about him, the man had class. He was...
No, he did.
He was a classy player. The current Boston team is just a bunch of throw-down, foul-mouthed, violent thugs. And the Lakers, you have Kobe, you got Pau Gasol, you had Derek Fisher, it was a team of gentlemen. That's what the Lakers were. Gentlemen
Kobe.
Athletes.
Kobe.
Rhodes Scholars, all of them.
Kobe, a gentleman. I'm sure there's some
a trilingual rapist, but alleged.
And by the way, I just called the city of Boston thugs. The city of Boston is not thugs. Let's face it. That's
the people are thugs. That's, the city is beautiful.
No. Yeah. I was going to say the sports fans of Boston are certainly not thugs. We all know the sports fans of Philadelphia are the ones who are thugs. So I apologize to Boston. Boston, L.A., and New York could agree that Philadelphia's got the biggest thug assholes around also.
They booed Santa Claus.
Yeah. They booed Santa Claus.
On that note, how did jury duty go, Will?
Let me tell you about this. So as you know, last week we were in the deliberation room and we were deadlocked, if you've been listening. And the next morning, the two holdouts, they came in and they said, "We've changed our minds."
Like, think
they thought. And honestly, to be honest, we were a great fucking jury. We were a Hall of Fame jury. We were the best. We, we all got along. We were all very intelligent, and we put a lot of thought in this. And all of us admitted to losing sleep the night before. And I did. I tossed and turned, knowing, because you know, someone's life is in your hands. Even though this was a DUI case, and it's not really her life in our hands, but it's going to affect her. And we came back with a very interesting verdict. Apparently, driving under the influence and blowing a .08 are two separate charges. You can take them both into consideration with each other, but they are two separate charges. We found her guilty of blowing a .08. There was just too much data and evidence and testimony to question it. We found her not guilty of driving under the influence, which, you know, the look on your face, Sam, what's going through your head on that?
That's just puzzling. Usually you would think that .08 would be the automatic marker.
Well, the idea is here that you can be .08 and not be driving recklessly and pass a field sobriety test. Now, I'm not saying that was the case with this woman, but the prosecutor was awful. She was an idiot. It turned out to be her first case in front of a jury.
You have a date with her next week, right?
Honestly, she was very attractive. She was a very attractive black woman. And
moving on.
And, well, she was. I mean, I don't know. She was, you know. Anyway. And I did not ask her out on a date, but I did explain to her why she may have screwed up her closing argument after.
If I've seen one episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, I've seen them all.
Well, to be fair, she was open to hearing about it, and she gave her closing argument, and then she proceeded to give the exact same closing argument again with visual aids, and it just, you know. And the defense attorney knew she was boring the hell out of us. The judge did, too, and called her out on it at one point. And the fact of the matter is, there was enough evidence that we felt there might have been other reasons she failed her field sobriety test. Look, she was probably fucking drunk, but they didn't do a good job of proving it, other than the .08, which we chose, the very thoughtful Hall of Fame jury chose, to treat as a separate charge. Most of you think I'm crazy, but 12.
You weren't there. You weren't in the shit, man. You don't know.
But you know what? It's kind of like that, because all of a sudden you bond with your jurors, because you're all thrown into this very stressful situation that you don't want to be in. So the 12 of you bond, and I kind of have a new respect for, like, jurors in something like, and I know this sounds so high, but like the Casey Anthony thing, where we're all like, how did you find that crazy bitch, like, not guilty? But you know what? I kind of get it, because you're given very specific rules and instructions, and you know, I mean, have you ever served on a jury, Sam?
I have not. I've actually been the king of being able to get out of it every single time. When I was working in San Diego, I worked overnights at a radio station. I just walked in, like, right from work, and my eyes were just bloodshot.
You're like, "Your Honor, I've been drinking pretty heavily, so
I was like, Connor, it's not a good idea to have me in here. I'll be falling asleep in about 10 minutes." And that was it. And then the next time I got called in, it was right after the economy went bad. They actually asked if this is going to cause great financial stress on you, let us know now and we'll get you out of here. And I was like, I just lost my job at that time. But I was like, yeah, it's going to cause emotional stress.
Well, I tried to pull that and I could not get out of it. They said financial. They said because the trial would only be like 5 days, which it turned out to be like seven. 7 days on, like, a DUI thing. I feel justice was served. One last thing I would like to squeeze in what's been a very odd episode, possibly for some of you. Sean, you're Jewish. I don't know if people know this, and you have it's Passover now.
It is. And the holiday of killing the firstborn.
What a thing. It's like the Jewish religion is apparently one long episode of Game of Thrones.
That's pretty much what it is.
But you were telling me off air a very interesting story about a big controversy this Passover.
Yes,
maybe Sam, you'll want to weigh in on this after Sean.
This is you know, your Jewish culture corner for the week. During Passover, we cannot eat any products that other than matzah that have wheat or grain in them. That also has extended over the years through rabbinic decrees to corn byproducts, which means that during Passover, we cannot drink Coca-Cola as it's normally made in the United States because it has corn syrup in it. So normally, during Passover, all of a sudden, if you notice, Coca-Cola has yellow caps on them. The yellow caps indicate that these are Coke made with a caramel coloring and sugar instead of corn syrup. And it's the formula that's used everywhere else in the world except the United States. Because of our abundance of corn, we tend to put corn byproducts in everything we eat. So for about a week and a half during the year, there is sugar Coke on the shelves. Now this year, because of some legislation that passed last year in California, the caramel coloring was labeled a carcinogenic, and they were not allowed to bottle and manufacture this kosher for Passover Coca-Cola in California, which then created a panic where cartons and crates of kosher for Passover Coke had to be shipped in from New York in limited quantities, and there was a hysteria over who was going to be able to purchase this sugar Coke from New York City before supplies ran out. And so this has been the controversy in the Orthodox Jewish community. And I was actually suggesting that we should load up some vans, drive down to Mexico, and legitimately make a Coke run to Mexico, load up on sugar Coke, and bring it back over the border. So that's what's been going on
in
my world.
How many days left in Passover? Like,
it ends,
and Sam have enough time to get down to Mexico?
It ends on Saturday night. So there's another probably 5 days or so of Passover. And so over the weekend, I was at my parents' house, and my mother had yellow Coke. Like, how did you get this? And I don't drink caffeine. I don't drink Coca-Cola. Like, how did you get your hands on this? She goes, oh, I bought it from the kosher market. I go, when did you buy it? She goes, oh, a couple weeks ago. I go, you got, like,
she doesn't know. She
didn't
lottery
know how
she
lucky she was. She did. She won the Coca-Cola lottery.
Question.
Yeah.
Can't the Jews just drink Pepsi?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Pepsi has no. Well, Pepsi's got their own formula. I'm not quite sure. See, Coke has always been the big player here with this. I don't know. Pepsi also has their – they've gotten into it recently. I don't know the specifics of what's going on with the Pepsi, but it's always been just that yellow cap, kosher for Passover, Coca-Cola, and to the exception of everything else. So.
Well, I understand why California passed this legislation, because it's not like there are any Jews in the Los Angeles area who might –
none whatsoever.
Might, yeah.
But you know what? This is my whole thing with Passover. Fuck you, you can go a week without Coca-Cola. Deal with it. Not the end of the world.
Yeah, is it really that important to
have Coca-Cola
during Passover?
I mean, this is a larger, you know, Jews were not big bakers, but all of a sudden on Passover, when you tell them that they can't use certain ingredients, now they become fucking wizards in the kitchen, and they're making souffles and cakes and brownies out of ground potatoes. I'm like, what are you doing? Just don't eat a brownie for a week. You don't need to have it.
Haven't Jews made bigger sacrifices throughout history?
Yeah, sir, this is the least of your worries, honestly.
No Coke for LA Jews.
No, because that's what. No Coke for LA Jews. Drink water. It's good for you. Deal with it.
I cut soda out of my diet a few years ago, and mostly out of my alcohol. So now I just drink everything.
Now you just Jack. No more Jack and Coke.
Jack. No more Jack and Coke. You know. So there you go.
That's what's going on with that's the trauma in my life right now.
Well, this has been an interesting episode.
Yes, and I hope we haven't lost all of you and that you're willing to tune in next week.
And in all seriousness, we want to talk sports. We like sports. You know, if you didn't like this episode, you're an idiot.
You know what? Listen,
I like that I'm shitting on our possible
fans. Honestly, that's one of the things that I enjoy about doing this podcast, is that every week the topic is a little bit different. You know what? There's going to be some you like, some you don't like. A lot of you weren't into S&M. Okay, but we did an S&M episode. Some of you don't like sports. We're doing a sports episode. That's what we like to do. So deal with it. Hopefully we entertained you enough.
You know what? We shouldn't have even apologized.
Yeah, next time,
fuck
maybe,
you all.
Next time, maybe when we talk about sports, we will talk about what we love about sports, not how much we hate Boston sports.
Oh, you know what? We talk about what we love about sports. Like the Lakers, the Yankees.
I'm like, I hate soccer. I hate Boston. I hate me. Yeah.
I think this was generally a positive episode, but Sam, I want to thank you for...
Hey, it was an honor, you guys. Seriously, I've been listening, and I was looking forward to joining you guys.
Awesome. That's what we like to hear.
We appreciate it. And why don't you, tell us again where we can hear
iHeartRadio.com. If you go and check out AM570 Raw, I'm going to be joining that show Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I'll be on there. So. Okay.
And we'll get us a link, and we will post it on the Facebook page.
You
probably
got it.
Is already posted right now.
Yes.
And do you have – you're not on Twitter or anything like that?
I am anti-Twitter. Actually,
he's at anti-Twitter.
Yes. No, because I did this whole psychology thing, I have to kind of keep myself – inconspicuous. I can't keep posting stuff on Twitter, and I had to make my Facebook page private. But now that I'm doing radio stuff again, I have to open up. So
okay, so maybe soon enough we'll.
Yes, I may join the Twitterverse soon.
And if you do, then once he does, you should follow him because it'll be great.
And myself, I'm at Twitter at the Sean David, and my book on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, Triumvirs. Download it, read it, email me, let me know what you think. It's all good.
And me, you can follow me at Twitter, at TheRealWillLink. And every Tuesday at 4 p.m., you can listen to me review movies with people about 30 years older than me on the Larry Minetti Show at crntalk.com. Again, more internet radio, destroying real radio.
Yes.
And next week on the podcast...
Why don't you tell us who we have on next week, because if I say anything, I'm going to get in trouble.
We have the wonderful Tanya Zhang. She's a terrific actress. She's working on a web series now. I've read some of the scripts of them. It's going to be very funny. And she's also a terrific photographer. And she's going to be on discussing all of those things and delving into the topics with her. I know she's excited to be on, and we are excited to have her.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. She's a huge fan of the podcast, and we've been looking forward to this episode as well for a while. It's going to be very special.
Yeah, so...
Sam, any predictions for the finals this year?
My prediction for the finals, it's going to be Oklahoma City versus Miami, and Oklahoma City's going to take it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to check in
on this.
We're gonna
get back to everybody sometime in June and see if this right.
See if this bears out. My prediction, Clippers versus the Knicks.
That would be awesome. Linsanity versus...
No, Linsanity, well, unless he comes back.
Yeah, a meniscus injury doesn't take long to recover from. So
excellent. Well, you would know.
Yeah, that's another episode.
That's all.
We'll get into Sam's physical ailments next time.
Next on the Will Sean Podcast.
And I think we're finished.